10 o'clock hour. Live from the Greater Bucky Open at TPC Wisconsin. Are you both playing?
I am going to play. I'm actually, it's nice that you booked Matt Flynn. He's going to take over since he missed the players only, which I'm not happy with him about. So you can make sure you let him know.
You're upset with the Flynninator.
I'm not upset with him.
Flynninator.
I'm irritated with him. Not upset.
The Flynninator. Flynninator. doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Nah, that one didn't work.
So he's gonna cover the last half of the show for me, which is nice.
Are you punishing him for not joining you on the players only?
There's no punishment. This is a joy. What are you talking about?
He's now your cousin sub of the day for 20 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. And I got a hunch old J-Dub is doing this because he's double dipping. I would bet I'd bet dollars to donuts.
I would say all I'll say is this. I thought that having Matt Flynn on the show so people could enjoy hearing from him and getting his insights was better than me just calling him up and then using his quotes in the story. So,
he's
yes, there's definitely double dipping.
No, Jason, I have no problem. I like it when you double dip. Get Charles Woodson. I get Matt LaFleur. Goody. I'm up for all these double dips.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Charles Woodson, hopefully next week. Dwayne Dirksen scheduled to appear on Monday when you're not here. Time now.
That sounds about right.
For the prize picks of the weekend. And if this helps you, Tausch, this means that there's a prize picks read at the end of the segment.
Well, I appreciate that. Yep.
I'm getting some breaking news from Mark Tauscher.
Oh, what did I just do?
Because when I put this together last night, Malik Willis did not have any projections listed on prize picks. Mm-hmm. But you're saying you just saw, and I have to update my app, so I need you to rely on it for
literally
this.
Right here.
You're seeing Malik Willis listed on Prize Picks.
So
what you
I will
talking
do this.
About?
Yes. So I don't know if this tells you exactly what's going to happen, if the Packers are going to make any announcements today or if they're going to continue to subterfuge. But Malik Willis, 30.5 rush yards for the game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. Jason, more.
So if he doesn't, or so if less. He doesn't play, it would be less.
For sure.
I'm going to go more, whether it's scrambling or by design. I think he's going to run for more than 30.5. What about you?
Yeah, I'm debating because, again, Prize Picks is so blanking awesome that they're giving Caleb Williams 0.5 again this week.
0.5 passing yards every Sunday in September for the Bears game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, so every Sunday
in September.
Let's go. Prize Picks it is. Use that promo code WY, get $100. Let's go. I'm going more because I think he's going to need to. And I think there's going to be some trinkets and some designed runs. But I also think if he can just get out of the pocket, I think our O-line is going to be a lot better than what we saw in that crap field last week. And I think you're going to see the pocket kind of, and he's going to get out of it. And he's a good athlete now. More.
Tonight is the big Muskego-McGuanago rivalry game down at Muskego High School. Muskego runs the wing T. Is Green Bay going to come out and do like a wing T offense on Sunday? If we're going to run with Josh Jacobs a bunch, Malik Willis is going to be over 30.5. Like, what? Are they going to even throw the ball?
So I would say that you're going to see some RPO. You're not going to see wing T. Maybe he will. That'll be actually blanking awesome if he does. But no, I don't think that's going to be the case.
All right, next up then, let's go to Josh Jacobs if we're talking about running the football effectively. More or less than 65.5 rushing yards for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I think he needs to in order for this game to go the way we all want it to, or at least you and I, because Jason's not a fan. I would say more for Josh Jacobs because I just think this has to be a ground-and-pound type game. And if you're going to be ground-and-pound, you need old boy Josh Jacobs to have more than 60. What is it, 63.5?
Yep.
Yeah.
65.5, I'm sorry.
65. Well, okay.
Your number.
I think he's going to end up at 64.25. So we'll see. I'm going to still go more with the 65.
I'm going to go more as well because I think he has to go more for them to have a chance to win this football game. So 2 for 2 on the Moors. The Moors. The Moops.
The Moors.
All right, let's see if we go 3 for 3 with Jaden Reed, who had a big week last week in Brazil. More or less than 36.5 receiving yards. Again, seems low compared to statistically last week, but he's got someone different throwing him the ball that hasn't traditionally been good at throwing the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to go less. I think it's going to be a struggle. And if Indianapolis is worth a grain of salt, they're not going to let Jaden Reed just run rampant. Now, he's a talent now, and you have other players you have to look at, but I think you're going to limit what he's doing, and I don't know how many opportunities he's going to have, so I think that's why I'm going to go less.
36.5 is not very much, and if they do the jet sweep where he runs
a pop pass
front of the quarterback in the shotgun, yep, and they do the pop pass, that's going to count as a catch. So I'm going to go for the third straight answer, more.
Wow. Tausch, does it change your mind? I'm actually seeing an updated projection this morning, 32.5.
Oh, I might
so it's down.
Maybe it'll dip even more, and then if it gets under 30, Pounce City, USA.
How about Christian Watson, 25.5?
Christian really disappointed me last week. I'm going to steer clear. But
Dobbs, 26.5.
I'm going to wait till Jordan Love gets back, which hopefully will be, you know, either next week or, of course, the game that I told Jason the beginning of this week,
Minnesota,
that I got tickets because it's going to be that welcome home Jordan type game, and he poo-pooed it, if you guys remember.
Wicks, 15.5. That's getting to be a pretty low number.
So just help me understand this from Prize Picks perspective. They are trying to get you to play these numbers because they are enticing, right? I can't blame them.
They're trying to get you to so it balances.
They set a fair projection, yes.
And I just was listening to Joe Fortenbaugh on Unsportsmanlike. And the
Fortinator.
The Fortinator.
There you go. That they're always trying to kind of figure out when you have chaos, which this would be chaos.
No doubt.
In this sphere, you're trying to kind of figure all that out. And in daily fantasy, you're projecting. You don't know, right? And that's what's beautiful about it. You can use that promo code WI.
I like Wicks more than 15.5.
Well,
I'm locking that one in right now on mine. Now let's go to the other team, Jonathan Taylor.
I thought Miami and Tua are going to have a big night last night.
How did we not make Jonathan Taylor the honorary captain this week for the Badger game with the Colts in town playing Alabama?
You think Jonathan Taylor is going to drive over here a day before a game?
No.
Yes. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow.
They won't even be here yet.
You understand that, like, it's great. People love being at these games, but your job is more important than being an honorary captain when you can come back anytime during a bye week, et cetera, et cetera.
He's a Wisconsin alum. They're playing Alabama at Camp Randall.
He is one of the GOATs of Wisconsin football. One of the GOATs.
Mm-hmm.
So he can come back whenever the heck he wants, but not when he plays. He's got a game the next
day. What's his face with the Colts, the big dog? Isn't he a Wisconsin guy too?
All right, yeah, so
Chris
Ballard
yeah.
to come and say,
Ballard and
you know
Jonathan Taylor are going to come together.
You don't need to fly with your team. You can Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
We'll take the
private jet. We'll go in a day early. We'll be good. Me and you, buddy.
You understand that we're honoring and celebrating Ron Dayne being the all-time leading rusher, and we're not listening to all that foolishness about the San Diego State guy? That's being honored this weekend?
And the only guy in the same conversation as Jonathan Taylor for all-time school records rushing is Jonathan Taylor.
Well, Melvin Gordon's pretty good, too. But, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, more or less than 79.5 rushing yards for the Colts on Sunday.
Ooh. Saquon had a big game. I'm guessing you get what you emphasize. I would guess that you're going to make Richardson beat you with his arm. You're going to kind of get through. I don't know how good. Their O-line's okay. I'm going to go less, but not by much. The thing I'm nervous about, JT, I've seen this movie. Dude is as explosive of a back as you're going to find. You give that dude a little space, a deuce is B. I mean, we've seen it. He's one of the best I've ever seen at doing it. And I'm nervous about that because what Saquon did, it doesn't take much. You can get a couple lost yardage, boom, 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 and then all of a sudden, bam, JT23 is busting loose. That's where I'm a little bit nervous about it.
I'm going to keep my streak alive. I'm going to go more, even though they are emphasizing being better against the run this week. One more?
We got one more. Do you want to go outside of the Packers game or do you want to stay with the Packers game? Up to you guys.
Let's go outside.
Aaron Rodgers, more or less than 225 and a half passing yards against the Tennessee Titans.
Long trip, short week. I think they're in Tennessee this weekend, right?
Yes, double sir. Check. Yep, they're in Tennessee.
I don't know how good Tennessee's defense is. They played the Bears. They shut Caleb Williams down. I almost didn't get my prize picks on Caleb last
week.
0.5. He only threw for like 50-some yards. I'm going to say less. He's not a stat guy anymore. He's not. I don't remember last time he had a 300-yard game.
Yeah, neither does he.
225 is different than 300, but I'm going to go less. I think it's going to be a Breece Hall type of game and kind of a grinder out. The defense stunk last week. I would guess Tennessee's offense is pretty garbanzo. I'm going to go less.
Clean sweep. I'm going more for Aaron Rodgers. Passing yards, 225 and a half. And that's the beauty of Prize Picks. We're not competing against each other, Tausch. We're just competing against the projections.
It is exactly right. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members, and it is fun and it is easy. As Jason just said, you just pick more or less 2 to 6 player stat projections. Watch it roll in. Sign up today. You get $50 instantly when you play 5, and you don't even have to win. You get the $50 bonus. And I've been telling you, download that Prize Picks app today. Use code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Run
your
game. And I will, Jesse, are you going to put your projections up? We're going to do a little running contest, or you just want me to put mine up?
I think you're the featured Prize Picks guy.
I will put mine up. Obviously, you can put Caleb down. I'm going more. And then I think I'm going to dabble big this week. I'm going to go with a 4-piece nug.
Ooh.
And I'll get you that 4-piece nug. We can put that up before Sunday.
It will not include Christian Watson because you're mad at him. All right.
Disappointed.
And Matt, so Matt Flynn, Christian Watson are on your disappointed list.
Very disappointed with Matt. Very disappointed with Christian Watson. Yes, those are fair assessments.
Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
From the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. Jesse, you have now, despite your managerial role.
I see where this is going.
I have no idea.
I know exactly where this is going.
So, Chrissy Birdsall is one of our rising stars, right? I mean, she's done all this cool stuff. She's come back to our team.
I mean, she's officially been here like a week, so, like, I don't know.
But she was with us previously, right?
She was an intern last summer, yes.
Yeah, she's like Matt Flynn. She came back when we needed her most.
Well, she's a grinder now. She's out there working.
She's
see her at Badger games.
Yeah.
She does a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much like Jesse. And...
Does Jesse hire exact opposites, like just hard-nosed grinders so that he can continue on his path? How does that work, Jesse?
Jesse's mentality is, I'm going to hire as many hard-working people as possible
so I can work a lot less.
As little working as possible.
Unless it's the volleyball pre and post game, which I still, it's just an amazing thing.
Don't worry, I'm sure.
Yeah, I want to give up my weekends and my nights because I want to call you. And kudos to Jesse for the grind.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that Wisconsin volleyball has won some matches because
3 in a row.
People were talking after the 0-3 start that
it was all our fault.
It was all Jesse's fault, not ours.
I would just say this. I predict that maybe not even before the season, maybe not even next season. It may happen during the season. That Jesse will give Chrissy that job too,
like that's which job?
That's
Jesse's crown jewel. Now my question is, I guarantee Jesse is taking at least one day a week off. Now with Chrissy and Pablo both getting there, uh-huh. I'm wondering, is he going to work more or less than 2.5 days on our show?
What's the Prize Picks per
No, it's, we're setting it at 3, and I don't know, Jim.
Not only that, but
Jesse,
now He just delegated the responsibility of training Chrissy to
his
beautiful.
This is where I knew it was going. This is where I knew it was going.
You know what? They always say work smarter, not harder. Jesse has had that figured out for a long time.
Indeed.
So I set it at three a week, where are you going?
More. Because I'm off Monday next week. But the rest of the week, I'm in.
Yeah,
maybe.
All right. We need to get to our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week now that we have the 565 Analytics Collective handling
good
the
win
judging.
For Jesse. Early lead for the Jessinator.
Really good job by the Jessinator from the Klinkster.
Taking these days off to
and
prep up.
Out. Yeah, it's working for him.
Want to remind you before we get started, it's the last weekend of Steinhoffel's Make It Your Own event. Save up to $600 on the largest selection of sofas, dining sets, bedroom furniture, and more. All customizable so you can create the perfect piece for your space. And that's not all. Check out their bonus buys for even more incredible deals. With Steinhoffel's 60-month financing, your dream home is within reach. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for our Steinhoffel sleepers.
What the hell Jesse's doing back here?
Drop my phone.
Fire in his phone.
Sorry. I dropped it. Sorry,
you can get to it.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Are we doing this like golf? So Jesse won, so he gets honors?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But you want to do it in golf voices? Is that what you're saying?
Stepping now to the Steinhoffel's tee, Jesse Nelson with his handicap of 72.
And I'm using the Wilson iron. I'm going Emmanuel Wilson. Might be low-hanging fruit. I know that's going to but I wanted to pick him last week. And if they're going to run the football effectively like you guys keep saying they're going to, Josh Jacobs is going to need a break at some point. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel Wilson, I thought he was the best player not of the starters throughout the preseason, and I really liked what he did last week, and I think he can continue to be that guy as long as Marshawn Lloyd is still battling back from injury. So
I saw a video clip of Marshawn running over like a practice dummy. He was physical now. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I wanted to go just
pick
because
up.
That, and I'm not. I'm up next because I took second, according to our analytics firm. I'm running this thing back. I'm going to run it back until I get a dub. And I'm going LVN. I know he took less snaps than I think a lot of us thought last week. I got a hunch it's going to be a big number 90 weekend. LVN, Lucas Van Ness, my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
They say nothing ventured, nothing gained. So since I'm already in last place, I'm going bold. My Steinhoffel sleeper of the week is Sean Clifford.
Whoa!
I gotta admit, I absolutely love
That's
it.
That's a good pick. There's an easy path to victory.
I got a quick question.
That.
Great pick, Jason. What if I go Jordan Love and he just takes snaps?
I thought about doing it too.
If he just takes snaps, we'd probably win.
He plays, Jordan Love wins. Yeah.
Love wins. Yeah.
You want to do it?
No,
too late. You've already.
No, I already picked.
Sorry. Yeah. Sean Clifford, I am, and Tausch, in all seriousness, because this is probably not going to happen, but I am curious, and I'm wondering if you're curious, what is the leash for Malik Willis in Matt LaFleur's mind? Like, I think down deep inside, Matt LaFleur would say, both of these guys, it's not ideal, but there's part of me that I feel better about the guy that was with us all last season, all off season, and all training camp. But does he have the stones to change quarterbacks if things aren't going well on Sunday?
Matt LaFleur definitely does. I don't think he is invested in Malik Willis. I think this is a Goody call. And I think if Matt LaFleur had his druthers and he had a couple of cocktails, he'd tell you he wants to start Sean Clifford this week. That's what I think.
Yeah.
That leash, I don't think there's any question. A couple turnovers or you're just not seeing any type of productivity, you got to win the game. So, yeah, I think it's going to be very quick.
All right. Well, there you have it. Those are our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We'll get those up on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed. You can respond like the Steinhoffel social media team always does as well. We'll see who you pick. Those are our picks. Jesse has Emmanuel Wilson. Tausch has Lucas Van Ness. And I have Sean Clifford, who, as we always point out, is not on the roster yet, which makes him consistent with a pick by me. You can play along. Again, join us on our social media channels. And remember, Steinhoffels, they've got their great sale going on right now. Rob Domofsky, speaking of great, he joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
He's the best in the business. Just ask Mark Tauscher. He's his favorite beat writer when it comes to the Green Bay
Packers. Spoon had
a
great day yesterday. Spoon had a great day
yesterday. Just because he asked about Edger and Cooper. Man, you are. It's incredible
I think I'm gonna start,
how you just sway with the wind.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, beat guys
one
are always
consistent.
Beat guys are always judging players and coaches. I think it's kind of fun. We'll start making like a power rankings of who had good weeks now that you guys have been televised for a while. Who asked great questions? Who got great responses? Who predicted things right? We're going to do a little power ranking, and Domofsky's always going to be in that top three. He'll be a medal guy.
Beat writer breakdown every week.
Yep.
Joining us now, the bronze medalist from Greece, where he toured the ruins with the Lawrence basketball team. It is Rob Domofsky on Wildy and Tausch. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Just because I'm wearing the Greece shirt doesn't mean I'm actually in Greece. I will be at Lambeau Field in about an hour.
Oh, I wasn't sure how that worked.
I don't want to lose my spot on the podium. The worst thing that happened to our business was broadcasting press conferences. The absolute worst thing.
Why?
No.
Why is that? Because there's
the best thing.
Because there's transparency, or what? Why is that, Rob?
I'm mostly kidding, Tausch, but here is the thing. Some people will say, "Well, they didn't ask this, they didn't ask that."
Yeah.
The press conference setting is only one avenue for us to ask questions. Like, there's, we're not always going to ask the quote unquote hard questions up at the podium because you're not going to get the best answers. You're going to get the best answers off to the side when the cameras aren't around. No offense to our TV friends, but players are more willing. Coaches are more, we don't get the coaches necessarily off to the side anymore, but they're more willing to give you an honest answer when it's, they think they're not on camera or whatever, or if it's a more intimate setting. So, like, just because we don't ask a question at a press conference doesn't mean it's not asked.
So, yeah, do you grease guys up like Jason does, where it's like, this is great, blah, 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 and then get them to, like, lower the guard a little bit and then, bah, hammer them?
I was proud of Jason the other day. He asked a blunt question. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he ended it with just a – it was a quick zing, and I'm like, he's coming around.
Yeah, it was about the challenge of putting together a game plan for a backup quarterback.
That's right.
And I asked LaFleur if he enjoyed that challenge, if he was invigorated by it, or if it just sucks.
It just sucks.
That's good.
Yeah, we're getting them over to the brief and blunt.
It's been a process.
Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing brief. There is blunt about Jason, if you know what I mean. All right. So, Rob, what are you thinking quarterback-wise? Is that you were on one of our shows earlier this week, said he's not playing.
Yeah.
Jason's been saying subterfuge, but you keep hearing open doors, making progress, doing this. Jordan Love ain't playing, right? And will we hear that sooner rather than later, or how is this going to shake out?
First of all, until he plays, he's going to be questionable. Even like week, let's say he misses two games and for sure he's playing the third week, he's still going to be questionable until he gets himself on the field, on the game field. I do think that we can see one of three outcomes today. He could be listed as questionable, he could be doubtful, or he could be out. My guess is if they go the questionable route today, which it would not surprise me, I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow there's the Saturday downgrade. It's either doubtful or out. I do not think he's playing. When we were at practice yesterday, I don't know if Jason's talked about this on the show, but it's kind of changed a little bit. We go in the Hudson Center and watch them stretch. Then the team goes outside for a period that we can't watch. So normally we just mill around in the Hudson Center. Then we go out for that I guess it's period three that we can watch, and then we're given the boot. Well, this week, I'm pretty sure I saw Jordan Love way in the back corner of the Hudson Center. There's a little training room back there. Hopefully, Tausch, you were never in there.
A little investigative journalism. I like that.
I'm pretty sure, and I got another set of eyes to confirm this for me, that while they were stretching and we were watching stretch, Jordan Love was in that back little training area. Then, when they went outside to stretch, they actually kicked us completely out. We stood outside the Hudson Center, but not where we could see the practice field, and I would be willing to bet that Jordan Love came out of that little training room at the far end of the Hudson Center, probably did some work on the field with the trainers, but we couldn't watch that. Then we go outside to watch a couple of periods or a period and a half, and then we're given the boot, and it sounds like Jordan Love then came out to the field after we left. Now, he did not participate, but from what a couple of guys had told us this week, that he was out there, he was standing in the huddle or behind the huddle, he was listening to the play calls. But look, I do not think any of that means that he's playing. I think it's just part of the process of, trying to get the physical rehab done and keeping him mentally sharp.
So, Rob, I asked this question earlier this week after the San Francisco debacle with the running back, and he's going to play on Friday, and you're taking all this sports gambling money, and the league has to kind of get this right? Because the odds and everything will tell you that the Las Vegas is looking at this saying Malik Willis is starting. That's what that is telling you. Yep. The league is going to have to come around and say, I love the fact you guys want subterfuge and you want a gamesmanship, but we got to stop because we're now in this business and we have to even be more transparent than ever before, because I'm guessing they're going to investigate the Niners, and if what old boy said in just a nice casual setting and then he backtracked, if that turns out to be true, I think San Fran's going to get hit pretty hard.
You're talking about the McCaffrey thing, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's I don't know, Tausch, what, a player or two on every team that can sway betting lines, and obviously he's one of them. I think we get so many emails from all these different odds sites and services that I'm pretty sure I saw that the difference between Jordan Love and Malik Willis in the betting line is 6.5 points. And it listed, literally went through and listed every quarterback and their backup and what the point differential was. And there were actually, I'm trying to see if I can pull this up while we're talking here, there were actually a couple of teams where the backup quarterback had better odds than the starter. I don't know, Jason, did you get that email?
I did, but that usually gets marked as spam for me, much like some of our transcripts because of the words we use in them. I am curious, though, Rob, to that point, And Tausch and I spent a fair amount of time on this because of the way that whole thing played out in San Francisco. I guess I'm a little bit curious what kind of a chill effect that will have on the floor and how far he's willing to take this. And maybe it's not a charade. I have to acknowledge the possibility, right?
Right.
I mean, he did say to Larry McCarron on Packers.com yesterday that it's more of a day-to-day injury, which I know people riled up. Tausch really wants him back, at least for the Minnesota game that he's going to be at on the 29th. The bottom line is you can only do the subterfuge so far with the betting lines and the daily fantasy before the NFL's going to get pissed.
Yeah, if they're, all these deals, like Tausch made the point, like at some point the NFL's going to have to do something. And it's going to have to be a little bit more serious than just, a $25,000 injury report fine violation or whatever. There's no question they're going to have to do something. By the way, I did find this email. The three teams whose backup quarterbacks would theoretically be better than the starter are Tennessee, the Giants, and Carolina, according to this, this
burn.
Email I got.
Burn.
So I guess Andy Dalton is 1.5 points better than Bryce Young.
Yeah, I can see that.
Didn't know Andy Dalton was even the Panthers' backup.
Rob, you were in the room yesterday with me and everybody else for the assistant coach access. I actually referenced what we like to call the Domalog in my story today in the State Journal. I know you haven't paid up on your subscription, so I'll have to email you a copy of the story. But what did you think of Jeff Hafley in terms of taking ownership of that they weren't good enough, about seeing some positives, and about setting the expectations here for week two?
Yeah, I actually think your question about do you wish, basically, I'm going to boil it down to a more blunt version of your question. Do you wish you had played your guys in the preseason? You know, I thought he, you know, I think that's when you're going through a new defense, I think they should have. I really do. It's just opinion. He wasn't going to use it as an excuse or whatever. It you know, it was what it was. But look, there's going to be, I don't think he was making excuses. I think he took his share of blame. I think they played a good offense. All this was lined up for it to be a tough start for this defense. I'm not, you know, I'm not yet versed on reading between the Jeff Hafley lines. We've only talked to him, you know, a half a dozen times, but he sounds like a head coach up there. So, you know, Matt LaFleur has, ever since he's been here, has been a guy who's going to say it's on us first, and Hafley followed suit there. I don't have a great feel for Jeff Hafley yet in terms of what he says versus what he means.
How good do you think his defense will ultimately be? And Tausch would like to know, since I didn't do the questions for him, what do you think of Edger and Cooper and what role he could have?
Yeah, I mean, Cooper's – there were two guys that it struck me as they were going to play more, Cooper and Evan Williams. I mean, Evan Williams couldn't play less. He played zero.
Micah Hyde, right? A young Micah Hyde, Jason?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Rob is with me on this.
Yeah, I'm just reiterating a point. Don't get all defensive.
Yeah. As for how good it can be, I mean, I've fallen into the trap that I thought this defense could have been good the last several years, and it hasn't. And I'm not sure what the disconnect is or was. But I guess I'm to the point now, Jace, where until they consistently stop the run and consistently take the ball away, you know, I'm in a wait and see mode. Three turnovers or three takeaways, I mean, you can get that every week. You should win more than you lose, I think. You know, we wanted them to take the ball away last year when they had seven interceptions and they had two in the first game. They also had the fumble recovery as well. So, I mean, that to me, that's a pretty good. If you start there, if you start with three takeaways every game, and you have an offense, you know, that's healthy with Jordan Love, you know, you should score more than, what, 6 points off those takeaways, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they got, the two field goals? So, you know, you got to kick. You can't kick in the red zone. You got to score, especially when you get a short field. And I think they will once they get Love back. As I don't know what – they could get three takeaways this week and score 0 points. I don't know. But I'm going to wait and see on this defense, but I do think – you know, Cooper, when, you know, he had his screw-up, right? Like on the one Barkley touchdown. And, you know, to the coach's credit, they put him back in there. And, you know, and he played well, which is why I think you'll see more of him and somehow, some way, get 33 on the field as well.
All right.
Yeah, Rob, before I let you go and then Jason can let you go whenever he wants. If this defense doesn't show,
what you tell me, Josh.
That's why you're my favorite. If this defense doesn't improve, and except it is the same old, same old, do you think that then tells you it is a talent player rather than a coach, the coordinator issue?
It would. There's no other conclusion. If it doesn't work now, you've tried. You know, this is the third different coordinator that Matt LaFleur has had, with obviously Mike Patton, Joe Barry, and now Hafley. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about the you know, the resources that Goody has thrown at the defense, and it's not just in the draft. I mean, it's, you know, it's Xavier McKinney in free agency this year. So, you know, if it's not A, it's got to be B, right?
All right, Rob, we'll let you go on this final question. You mentioned on our WBAY-TV show that we do on Sundays that you had talked to a scout in the league who told you he would start Sean Clifford.
Yeah.
Tausch and I said the same thing earlier in the show. Are you in that club, and why do you think they're not, if that's the case?
Yeah, I think a couple of reasons why they're not. I think, you know, Sean had a tough summer and a tough offseason. I think the people that, you know, this scout in particular, you know, probably, well, we know he didn't see practice, and Sean didn't have a great June. He didn't have a great, you know, July was better in August. Probably going off of, you know, the film that you saw of Clifford from last preseason. And, you know, it was okay this preseason, but, you know, he's a guy who doesn't necessarily practice particularly well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the outside view. And honestly, it's probably my view as well, at least this week. No knock necessarily on Malik Willis. I don't know what quarterback could come in here on such short notice. It'll be, what, 19 or 20 days? Mm-hmm. Game day is 19 or 20 days following the trade. I mean, I don't know if anybody could come in and really have a full feel for the playbook. And that's the thing, too. Like, how much of the offense can they use, and is it enough to, you know, keep Indianapolis off guard? I mean, do they have 70 plays that they can take into a game with a quarterback who's only been here, you know, less than 3 weeks? But I think, look, Brian Gutekunst is the one who we know has say over the personnel. Mm-hmm. And he felt like the best option for this team at backup quarterback is, you know, is Malik Willis. That's why he made the trade. I don't believe that Matt LaFleur would necessarily be in a position to tell Goody, I don't want to start this guy. I want to start the guy in the practice squad. I would highly doubt that Matt LaFleur has the authority to say, I want him on the roster and I want him starting this week.
So, Rob, one word answer, because we are running late. If Matt LaFleur was in charge of the starting quarterback this week and Jordan Love is not healthy, Matt LaFleur starts?
I'm going to use three words. I don't know.
Doesn't want to be sound.
I had a sound graph all buttoned up. Because I know you want to say Sean Clifford. You want to say Sean Clifford, but you don't want to get sound graphed. You
also
all rascal.
Two words if
he doesn't want to get sound graphed. Good. That's a veteran play
savvy.
By Domofsky.
Love it. Rob, well done, buddy. I'll see you at the
You all
in
rascal. Oh, look at you.
Now Spoon's number one.
Yeah, Spoon just elevated himself. Hey, get Tom Silverstein.
thanks, Rob. We appreciate you, buddy. That is the great Rob Domofsky. Tausch, speaking of great, Sydney got done with gymnastics practice last night, and conveniently located right down the street is a Quick Trip, and we swung
in. They're everywhere, and you know it's grilling season. Beautiful day out again. I think on my way home tonight, I might grab a little ground beef from the Quickery. It's only $2.99 a pound, and I love making those crusty, crispy smash burgers. Get that crust on the edge and grab some of that cheese for $1.99. Put that on and make a little cheeseburger. Woo, baby. And if you want chicken, you know I love Quick Trip's chicken. Roasted chicken every Monday for $5.99. Bone-in tenders, $9.99. Hand-breaded and boneless. You can get that white bread for 99 cents a loaf. You can get it all. And, of course, if you want dairy, you want a little ice cream, which I know I like, Nature's Touch, vanilla or chocolate for just $2.99. All those deals and more at Quick Trip. Just download the Quick Rewards app to order ahead. Take care of the payment and stop by to pick it all up. Or you can do like me. Learn and try and figure out how to do this curbside pickup. That's another one that you can do. Quick Trip has it all.
I'm being told that Joe Thomas will join us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Go, go, go!
Live from the Greater Bucky Open at TPC Wisconsin, and there he is. He's got his GBO shirt on and everything. It is Joe Thomas, the Hall of Famer.
Welcome back to the United States, Jose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am the German.
How long have you
guten
been
Guten Tag.
You've been gone for a while. We miss you, man.
Oh, man. That means a lot to me because I missed you guys, you know, but you don't want to be the first one to say it.
We'll say it.
I know miss you a little more than
we know you,
you
stream because we keep track of that. There's a lot of Munich. A lot of numbers grew big in Munich while you were gone.
Huge.
On our stream.
Huge.
So did you expect to be back? Because I watched your posting of your games. You guys are beating people. Somebody quit at halftime.
Yeah.
So you guys forced a team to quit, but then you ran into a team that in the playoffs, right? And that's why you're home because you could still be over there.
That's right. So the championship game is next weekend. So in theory, had we played a bit better, fewer mistakes, does that sound familiar to anybody here listening? Better coaching, of course. Good players make people look like good coaches and vice versa.
How that works.
Yeah. Did you have a franchise quarterback to build around?
We had a good quarterback. Chad Jeffries, he played out in California, like, I don't know, junior college or something like that. But basically, the way the league is set up, there's 17 teams. Every team has an American quarterback, obviously, because it takes a long time to learn how to be a good quarterback. But it's really about what the rest of your team is. You know, do you have a playmaker as a receiver? Because you're allowed four Americans. One's a quarterback, two on each side of the ball. So do you have a good playmaker at receiver? But then how do you fill out sort of the rest of the team? And we felt like we were in a good position because I was able to recruit a lot of good offensive linemen. So I think we had the best O-line in the league. But, you know, that only takes you so far. Not that I'm placing blame on anybody else because it's not one of those deals.
It's like your Cleveland Browns days.
Kind of like O-line. The Cleveland Browns days. Great O-line. Yep. But we had a tremendous amount of injuries on defense to the point where we actually took our American wide receiver and had him play cornerback because we lost both of our American DBs. We lost basically our entire D-line. So that's why we had to score points to try to keep up with people. But in the playoffs, we lost by three to Paris.
Two or three,
it was like 40 to 43 or something like that. So it's the way it goes in football. We felt like we were a better team. But in the end, on that day, we weren't. And so now I'm home. But I do get to go back for Oktoberfest in 2 weeks to move out, have like our end of the year stuff. So all is not lost, even though we lost.
What did you learn about coaching? Is it that you do not want to continue to do it? Or did you really?
Okay. Yes.
I was shocked. Listen, man, I followed you because you posted a bunch of stuff and the amount of travel and the story with Annie, and it's just it's awesome.
Yeah.
But coaching is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to do that if you're coaching college football or in the NFL. It's like we played in Barcelona, we played in Milan, we played in Prague, we played in northern France. Like we would go on these trips, and then I would just stick around for a day or two. You know, when the family was out there, after we played Barcelona, we stayed a day in Barcelona, did like the tourist stuff. Then we went to Portugal, and we surfed for 4 days in Portugal. And then we went somewhere else after that. I don't remember. Like,
did you go to Porto? So cool, did you do a little Porto?
We were close to Porto.
Got that big wave. The big
We were like an hour south of Nazaré, where they have like the world record wave. We were not surfing that stuff because we were just learning, but it was so cool because, you know, as a professional coach over in Europe, all these other coaches have real jobs. You know, me, it's like my real job is like as a dad back at home. So when we weren't doing football stuff, we were doing fun stuff as a family. We were traveling, so that was really cool. But if you had to do pro coaching in the States or college football, as you know, Tausch, if you go play Vegas, it's not like you're going to go hang out with your family for 2 days and go to a couple shows.
Maybe an hour for dinner.
Maybe an hour you get for dinner. So it's a different experience. I don't want to coach because I don't want that level of commitment because that's not the only thing I want to do in my life. But I did learn that coaching is very addicting. There is like a high and a rush that you get, like taking a guy through the beginning of the season and seeing his development, one, but also from the beginning of the week, the game plan, the prep, like putting everything into it, coming up with a scheme and a strategy to try to win on the weekend, and then it's test day, right? Sink or swim. And you don't really get that in normal life. No. I mean, maybe if you work a regular job and you have like a big presentation and they're like, hey, great job, you did good. But you never feel like you won as a team. I think outside of team sports and certainly when you become an adult, like
you
outside of coaching, right? Like, we're not going to be playing any pro sports anytime soon, Tausch. I got bad news for you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jace.
So now what are you going to do with yourself now that you're back, other than being at the Greater Bucky Open and being a Hall of Famer? and being a dad, what else do you got? You going to hang out with us more often? Like, what's on the docket for you?
Jesse just hired him, if you can believe.
He's actually training with Hunter on Monday.
He's back with Chrissy. You can do the pre and post game.
Chrissy and Pablo are going to be training Joe next week.
I'm going to be working the switchboards for you here all week. No, he sounds like my mom. What are you going to do now? Jeez, I just got home like 8 days ago.
That's old boy. Exactly. You know Wildy. That's what he does.
No. I'm excited to be back, and hopefully I get invited around here every now and then because I do love hanging out with you guys. But I am going to actually back to Europe a couple times because I'm working the London game. The first one, it's Patriots-Jaguars.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then I'm working the Munich game.
Don't tell me you got that Titans or what's the one, Panthers-Giants?
Panthers-Giants.
You didn't get that one, did
that's
you?
Munich. So, thankfully, I'm not doing the broadcast for that one. I'm like the in-stadium host.
All right, well, that's better.
Because I'm a German citizen. A German resident. They wouldn't accept me as a citizen, but I do have my, like, Alfin Tuselheisel Linderskarda, which is like, hey,
das
you're a resident.
Gut. Das ist gut. Gut.
So you can live there for 9 months, you know. So I have that. So as a resident, they've invited me back as the in-stadium host for that game, which is going to be a pooper. I mean, it's Giants, Carolina.
No, but it'll be named for the first-round pick.
That's right. So there is a lot on the line here. Yeah. So both teams are going to try to lose. It's like watching a soccer match.
Yeah.
Like two teams are trying actively not to win.
Let's see how you sell that game. That'll be fun. Yeah. We'll make sure we tune in. All right. Before Jason talks Badgers and Alabama, you did a ton of travel. We always pick your brand and you and Annie's brand about travel.
Yeah.
What do we have to do that you just did?
Because
you went
to
South Africa.
Yeah, Africa's amazing. Like, if you get a chance with the kids, it was one of those things I never dreamed of doing because going from here is almost impossible. It's like the place you can't get there from here. It's like 20-some hours. I don't know how many stops it would take to get there. But for us from Munich, it was like 10.5-hour flight, which is still a long flight, but it was doable with kids. And we got there. We did Namibia for almost a week. We did South Africa for almost a week and then Mozambique for almost a week. So that was awesome. Kids over there, they get 2 weeks for spring break, which is unbelievable. 2 weeks for spring break, and like a month later, they turn around and have another 1 week break. You know, it's amazing. But I would say Africa was probably the one place I didn't expect to go and had the most unique experiences.
How'd the kids like it?
They loved it.
School,
they loved it.
New friends, that whole bit.
My phone's ringing. I'm out of practice here for broadcast. Turn your phone off, you bozo.
We're the minor leagues. You're getting ready for the big leagues, yeah.
I forgot your question. I'm sorry. I was completely distracted by amateurism.
Because that's a huge ask, but the experiences, it's, you know, the kids missing their friends back here. But
Yeah, there was a little bit of that, but less than I thought. And I think a big part of it was we put them in BIS, the Bavarian International School. So
Biz.
We put them into Biz. And they were going to school in English with a bunch of other kids that were mostly foreigners. There was a few local kids, but, I mean, my daughter was going to school, and her friends were Russians and from the UK. There was some Germans, French. I mean, all basically because Munich is a really international city with a lot of big companies, international companies. So the kids of the people that are sort of like coming in for a couple-year stint usually put their kids in this school. And so having kids in a similar situation makes it easy to jump in and bond. Like if you go to the German school and these kids have been going to school together.
Zamost Briefmarken.
Yeah, since they were 5 years old. I think it would have been tough, but it was an easy transition on that side. But in Germany and in Europe as a whole, like once they have summer break, which starts July 1st, everybody leaves for like 6 weeks because they get all this vacation time. It's unbelievable. So once that happened and school was over and the kids' friends all left, they were like, Dad, when are we going home? Like, I miss my friends because they had no more friends and they just had to hang out with me, which is not a lot of fun.
All right, Joe.
Talk about a way to kill a conversation.
What a jerk. The big needler over there.
Great to have you back, Joe. We're really excited.
Thanks a lot, guys. I can feel the love.
And Jesse will get you trained on how to record a podcast because in all seriousness, I think it would be fun to have you tell us a bunch of your stories from your time in Germany. I think that would be really fun. We can get Annie involved, too. It would be really fun. I'd love to listen to that.
We had a lot of amazing adventures and stories from the travel and just from like the family living there.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories from me coaching the football will blow your mind. Like, when I first got there, there was a guy who wanted to do a documentary on the whole thing. And so he had a couple like different companies like Amazon and people like that were interested in potentially buying it. But then it was just like a little bit late by the time the season kind of got going. They didn't put it together in time. which was a disappointment because the stuff that happened that went on over there, people wouldn't even believe over here. I'll give you just a couple real brief ones.
Okay.
When we went to Prague, we played on a field that was 89 yards long.
And did you know it was 89 yards long?
Yeah, because I went out there in pregame, and I looked at the yard lines, and they were like 2.5 feet. And I go, that's not 3 feet between the yards. So I pull out my iPhone, which has a measuring app, and I was measuring it. And I'm like, this is not a full 3 feet. This is not 5 yards. And sure enough, it was an 89-yard field.
And you, that's you all just they played had. On it, right, I'm assuming?
Because you just do it. We had no scoreboard. We played in Barcelona the game that the team quit at halftime. We're out at halftime. It's 53-0, and we're warming up. The clock goes down. The refs are looking around like, where's the other team? And all of a sudden, four guys come out of the locker room crying. They're like, we give up. We're not taking this anymore. And
you I was should like, have made them go white flag.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, it sort of made me cry a little bit because they hadn't been paid for like 2.5 months. So, like, the ownership structure was all screwed up. They hadn't been paid. They, which, okay, one thing, you're not getting paid, but they didn't think they had health insurance. They thought their health insurance was not getting paid for. And, of course, we got a big, strong German line playing against these little Spanish dudes. We're kicking the crap out of them. I mean, like, one after the other, they're getting injured leaving the field. So they're like, we can't afford to get injured. We got no health insurance. We can't play the second half.
Oh, man.
But I was like, geez, this is crazy.
On an 89-yard field, let's say you're backed up and the kid runs it for a touchdown. Is it an 89-yard touchdown or is it a 100-yard touchdown?
Well, I think they were giving him credit because it wasn't like it was 89 full yards. It was 100 yards that was only 89 yards.
So that's like if you're running the 40 and you stick it. Man, you just flew through that. Well, you're only running 34.
Well, the best thing was they brought out the yardsticks, right? Because, you know, the chains are 10 yards long.
So
and to see them adjusting it so that it made it exactly like, you know, 9 yards was a first down. So it was interesting. And in that Prague game, too, there was a lot of interesting things. But another interesting thing is it was like some just random grass field in what used to be a prison during the communist era. So you saw this giant guard tower that was like looking over you like, my God,
replay
you know,
booth.
40 years ago, that was not a replay booth. That was a guy holding the machine gun if I tried to jump over the fence. But so they painted the field with paint that dissolves with water.
Okay.
Of course, it rained during the game. So the second half, there was no paint on the field. We were just playing on a grass field that was 89 yards long.
Sounds like a hell of an operation going on.
Dude, I tell you, man.
All right, Joe, we got to get you. We need to get more of these stories.
Yeah,
we'll get that. But Alabama, Wisconsin, I know you got a chance to go talk to the guys this week a little bit. A lot of people do not think that we stand a chance. Where do you stand?
Well, I went to their meeting on Tuesday, which is sort of like the install meeting, you know, their first meeting of the week, which was cool because you can kind of see what they're doing and they're coming up with. And Alabama's run defense is not so hot. It's nicht so gut, as we would say in Germany. And so I feel pretty good about the game plan that they've installed and how we're going to attack Alabama's defense. They got a lot of new starters. I mean, of course, they got 5 stars all across the board, but they got guys that haven't been doing it before. And so the opportunity to sort of take advantage of some of the mistakes and some of the inefficiencies that they have on their defense, I think we're going to shock a lot of people, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, look at that, Jason.
Spoiler alert.
I like that. Spoiler alert. All right, Jason, my last one for Joe. How is this going to work now? Because by proxy, with you being gone and Annie being gone, I had a boat this summer. I was able to use.
You're welcome.
It's Dr. Kelm's boat.
It
now.
Is.
Did How does that work?
So
he changed the name of the Kelminator.
Kelminator.
Is that? And I believe it was your boat, but did you lose proxy of that boat to Kelm? Because we were kind of irritated that your sister ended up using Mike's boat, and we didn't get to use it over Labor Day.
Yeah, that's BS. You guys ever heard of adverse possession? You know, somebody just starts squatting on your property. After a certain amount of time, it's just theirs. So, unfortunately, now I got to pay Kelm some money here to get my boat back.
Oh, God.
Joe, we're thrilled you're back. I will be more than happy to moderate the new podcast of all yours and Annie's stories from your time globetrotting with football.
God, that is just think of those, just those 3 snippets.
Right. This
That's
is
not
what
even
I'm
all
saying.
The stories from that game.
This needs, Jason, this unlike the Dick Bennett book, this needs to happen.
and if you can get that 89-yard field so Tausch can run a 4.8 40, that would be great as well.
Not anymore.
Whoa, all right. I didn't even think about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's go run our 40s. Unfortunately, we've got to do it in the Czech Republic.
And there's a tower over
it's worth
top.
It, yeah.
If you don't get a certain number,
under
it's
5,
deuces
boom.
B.
We don't need him in the gene pool anymore.
Deuces B, yeah.
Jose, good to have you with us. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, feeling dank. Feeling dank.
That is the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Hall of Fame storyteller, Joe Thomas, on Wildy and Tausch. We've completely blown up our show for him, which is fine. So, in 2 minutes, we're supposed to be calling Matt Flynn. Tausch, you're not going anywhere. Sorry. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.